you talk to any person that has got a good lifestyle and maybe some wealth, there could be a high chance that they own their own business. Now, what's better than owning your own business is having a business that is an e-commerce business, because you've got the potential for unlimited upside and scale. You've got the potential for less overheads, and every business has got drama. But if you are thinking about starting a business, if you are thinking about doing something on your own, well, today you're going to hear the story today of Dave and Jazz and the journey that they're on with their business, Surfolk. What is it? What do they do? How do they do it? You're about to find out. My name's Glenn James, and this is Business.
That's the sound of another sale on Shopify, in store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. shopify.com/retail23.
Dave and Jazz, welcome to the podcast.
Hey Glenn, thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us today.
No worries. A couple of local Newcastle champions. It's not often I do in-person interviews, but when I get the chance, I jump at it. Now, I'll set the scene as much as I know, and you guys can tell the rest. You're married and you have your own business. You're not business partners and all that. You're a married couple and you run your own business. So tell us right now, as at today, what the business is and what do you sell, what do you do?
Yeah, so we're Surfolk. We're an e-commerce business. We sell a range of products, sort of started with some apparel. Our sort of accessories include reusable film cameras as well, which is a lot of fun, and film sort of had a resurgence over the years. So a lot of people are wanting to adopt that again. But yeah, no, we have a lot of fun. Married, as you said, working together in this business. So yeah, so we've been doing Surfolk now since 2022. Sort of started in COVID. Surfolk was a bit of a COVID baby of ours. a lot of time together in our home, like a lot of people experience. But for us, that was a great opportunity to sort of think outside of the box, I guess. What do we really want out of life? Sort of, you know, business was always something we were attracted by. And I guess we thought e-commerce and an online sort of presence was a great way to go about it.
Yeah, we've both always talked about owning our own business or starting something. And I think, yeah, like you said, during COVID, there was a little bit more time and space to explore that. And I think it all kind of began when your pop gave you his old vintage film camera. And we were enjoying walks, as many people were, getting outdoors, staying grounded. And we just kind of fell in love with that analog process of capturing a moment, living in the moment, and then like that delayed gratification that's so counter, I guess, cultural to our society these days.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, well, we're still discovering what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, being patient and waiting for the photos to be developed. And we have a lot of people like, why would you like bother with film? Like you've got your phone or, yeah, digital photography as well. However, I think it's just been something that has attracted people, not only the novelty of it, but also slowing down the pace, not only, I guess, in life, but yeah, when it comes to capturing moments and sharing those. So I'm getting a bit off topic there.
No, it's good. But that's kind of, you know, because I wanted to get to the catalyst of, you know, what started it and the ideas. You said you both kind of always wanted to be self-employed.
Yep.
You mentioned grandfather. You mentioned the eat, pray, love feeling of, you know, analog photography and all that. And was the reusable 35mm film like the first product that you developed and went to market with?
No, actually. So we started with a few different products. We had some sort of like apparel, like t-shirts. We still do those and still wanting to go in that direction. But really early on, we discovered that film became our sort of hero product quite quickly.
Film camera,
that's right. Yep. Yeah, so I guess, and just that whole, like Jazz was saying, that whole experience around film was really interesting, that took off so quickly. But yeah, I think for us, like reasons to get into business. Like, I think we were both sort of working full time. Jazz works in sort of marketing. I was in finance at the time. Sort of both done degrees in marketing for you. And again, for me, it was a commerce business degree. But for us, I guess, we had sort of our career paths, I guess our pathway, trajectory forward was pretty clear. But I think we just had a bit of an itch to scratch in a way. Like, we just wanted to start something for years, but then that moment was the catalyst, I think, in COVID to be like, okay, you know, what do we really want? What's the step forward here? Do we want to be, you know, I guess in some degree, like, you can be maybe capped with a salary, all that sort of thing. Not that money is the big goal, but for us, it was, we want to have the opportunity to grow financially in terms of time freedom too, things like that. And we had a few people watching online and mentors and things like that that were doing similar things. So I guess that made the idea of it possible to us. And
yeah.
How old are you guys now?
27 for me.
I'm almost 27.
Awesome.
Next month. Yeah.
Next week, actually.
Next week.
Oh, there you go. Time flies. And that's it. Like, I think in your 20s, it's good to take some risks.
Yep.
And, you know, I started my business at 25 and it was a big risk and I took it because I thought, I don't have a mortgage. I don't have a family. All I need to cover is rent, basically. I'm going for it.
Yes, yes. That resonates so much. I feel like we felt like we were playing it safe and we were just eager to kind of have a go and I think see what happens. And at this point in our life, we realized that there wasn't too much to lose yet because we're still like building the foundations and deciding what we want our life to look like and what we want to do for work, essentially. And also, like, coming back to that film camera where we started, I think we noticed like a lot of people shooting with the disposable cameras and we noticed that there was an opportunity there to kind of bring, the reusable and a more sustainable product and,
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a while there, every single wedding you'd go at, there'd be film cameras, like little disposable ones, which was, you know, great. I love such a good experience. We just thought a reusable way of going about it was a good option, less landfill and, you know, you just reload it and reshoot and, it was definitely something we jumped on and,
Yeah.
So when we are talking about physical products or like a bit of a vibe, I always encourage people, like, if you're not driving, jump on Instagram now, have a look at the brand, you know, smash that follow button. Jazz, what's the Instagram?
Surfolk, AU, so spelt SURFOLKAU.
Sweet.
So just one F, just to confuse everybody.
Yeah, awesome. So check that out and you'll get a bit of a vibe for the brand and these guys and whatnot. Now, that's where we're at today. What's your primary source of sales? Do you distribute just online or have you got in stores opportunities around Australia?
Yeah, so we started just online and that's where we sort of spent our first year, I'd say, completely online as an e-commerce store. We've sort of done a bit of local markets as well, which has been great to get to know our customers. Really great experience for us, I guess, as business owners to talk face-to-face with people about our product. It can be the trap, I think, sometimes when you're online completely that you kind of lose a bit of connection with your audience or community you're building. So that was great for us. But we've just sort of started doing wholesaling too. So we're getting close to 6 or 7 stores and that list is growing and we're hoping to expand. So that's, just like another channel for us to get our name out there. And it's been really like fun and a great experience to see other store owners excited about our products. That's quite a unique thing, I guess.
And what percentage of sales would be the reusable camera, film camera?
Probably about, I'd say around 80%.
Yeah.
It's so pretty high. So we've coming with a few different products to support the cameras. So we actually at the moment at this time working on our own sort of unique film. So Surfolk branded 35mm film, which will be what you load into our cameras. So film is like a little bit scarce at this point in time because there's really just been a resurgence since, you know, COVID especially. Mm. And so the big sort of brands are disposing it, but we're sort of wanting to bring that because that's something that just works so well with our product is to have the film as well.
So I remember maybe when I was a kid, you'd take your film to the chemist and they would send it off and you'd get the next day. Like, is there still, like, even here in Newcastle, or are there still places we can get 24-hour turnaround, or do they have to send them down to Sydney or
somewhere to get developed? No, they still do it. Yeah, so I guess with that, like, resurgence of film has come film labs and, like, you know, what we all sort of remember, I suppose, if you're of the right age and you can remember that. But yeah, no, they still sort of operate, and I think they're actually increasing as well. We know quite a few up the sort of east coast of Australia. In Newcastle, even there's Pro AM. They're a great place we go to. But a lot of them these days, I guess, it brings the old with the new in the sense that when you go to a film lab, I guess a lot of people want to share their photos on Instagram, social media, things like that. So, or print them off. You can still do that, of course. But yeah. But yeah, so a lot of the labs these days will give you that sort of 24-hour turnaround time, and they can just email it to you, or Dropbox, or something like, give it to you digitally, so you can, you know, put it on Instagram and share it around and that sort of thing. So it
goes full circle.
Yeah.
When Instagram started, you could put a filter on there to make it look analog, and now we're just going direct analog.
That's so,
in terms of the business day to day, what activities are you both doing in the business?
So, sorry, I did want to speak to one thing around the markets and even the film labs, if that's okay, quickly. Yeah. Yeah, I think the opportunity there to connect with people, like, we knew no matter what we did, we wanted it to be around people and community. And I think that, yeah, the markets is such a great chance to connect with people. And down the track, we'd love to do, I think, more events and bringing that community together, right? And
yeah, definitely.
A lot of the labs seem to have, be it like a coffee store or whatnot, and hold events. And so there's a real, I think in our culture right now, people are like really eager for that connection to go beyond the screen.
Totally.
And to bring it back to that moment. And I think that's a big part of Surf Folk, is like, we want it to be beyond that brand and actually people connecting through shared love for the coast or film photography and those different things that we are really passionate about too. Mm. So back to roles, Dave, would you like to?
Yeah, so I guess for me, a lot of it has been the fulfillment, logistical side of things. So, you know, working with suppliers, working with the wholesalers, as I mentioned before. A lot of it, I guess I've been doing a lot of the sort of the paid ads behind it as well. So a lot of those digital marketing sort of areas. Yeah, which is, it's like just been such an opportunity to I guess upskill. There's so many different things you can do in that space, and as a, I guess we probably went into it pretty naively. We're kind of like, yeah, running an online store, that's what people do, right? Like, it can't be that difficult. It is pretty difficult, but but just because there's a lot of hats to wear at any business, I suppose, early days, you know, you're doing the supply, you're doing marketing, you're doing finance, you're doing all these roles, wearing all these hats. And I guess what we have, which is such a blessing, is two of us can do it together. And we're both passionate, have different skills we can bring to the table. But yeah, want to talk about what you do?
Yeah, sure. Basically, the Instagram feed is the thing that I'm most focused on. But beyond that is, I guess, the branding, the marketing, and that goes across a number of platforms on social media. We're hoping to actually kind of jump on Pinterest and things like that. There's so many opportunities out there to let people know about your brand. And I guess, yeah, the marketing and communication is what I'm super passionate about. And early days, before we actually started selling a product, we wanted to really create an authentic community and draw in, I guess, the right people that were interested in what we would potentially sell down the track. So we started off with connecting with other people who love film photography and sharing their film, and found that we got a bit of traction there online.
Yeah, that was probably like 6 to 9 months where we hadn't sold anything, but just built an Instagram essentially in a community, and that was growing. We were like, okay, well, we should probably find something to to sell, right? but no, it happened really organically, I guess, is the point there, which was a really cool way to start a business, I think.
Yeah, and I feel like, yeah, like you said, all these different roles that are kind of interconnected. So there's, every week looks so different, even each day, communicating with influencers or even emailing with stockists and whatnot across the board. We're supporting each other and kind of, yeah, looking where we need to handball things. And
so
yeah.
Is it just both of you, or do you have employees or contractors?
No, it's just the two of us for the most part. Yeah. We have contracted people like graphic designers and some freelancers for that, those sorts of projects when there is something coming up. But essentially, it is just the two of us. I think that's the goal definitely for this year, is actually to probably hire our first sort of contractor.
And what would the first hire be for?
Oh, such a good question.
We might fight over that.
Just everything would be great.
unicorn.
Yeah, that's it, a unicorn. But someone in, so I guess maybe digital marketing, social media management would be great, I think. But yeah, there's just, as we have started to grow, and we're very early on this journey, but we're recognizing some gaps, and not always in the sense of like, we don't know what to do, but just, you know, I guess relieving potentially ourselves and time and all those sorts of things. So
growing pains come with the growth.
So did I hear before, Jazz, you're still working a quote unquote day job sometimes during the week?
Yeah, so full-time as a marketing manager for an organisation called Yarpa Hub, who support Aboriginal business owners and run workshops and offer business coaching. So there's moments in the workshops where I'm like taking notes like, oh, I'm learning lots here too.
Yeah.
So it kind of connects in some ways, which I love, but it can be a juggle, that's for sure. So things like time management, clear communication, we're always working and like fine-tuning and adapting, I guess.
Mm.
But yeah, it's definitely showed us how much time is in a day and how much time we can waste. But there are times when you need to have some relaxing downtime and switch off. And then there's seasons where we're really pushing hard and it's all systems go.
Yeah, so yeah, this is awesome because, you know, I've got a heap of questions I'm going to ask you guys. And I think the questions I want to ask you, one, you're not walking into a trap or anything and they're not gotcha questions. They're more to, because we are wanting to encourage other people listening as well, it's just to get you thinking about your business and those listening, hello, if you want to start a business, these are some of the things that you need to think about as well. So my first question is the business something that, like, you want to both work in full time as your thing, or are you, Jazz, happy to do your quote unquote day job and kind of fly in and fly out from tasks?
Great question. I feel like day to day that answer can change, but for the most part, I feel like we have a really clear idea of where we want to go, and probably more around, I guess, we think like, where do we want to be in 5 years, 10 years? It can be really easy to just look at tomorrow or next year even. So we're constantly having that chat. But I think, yeah, the dream would be to be working together, to be building something that's, I guess, our own, that we've been able to watch flourish or grow. And yeah, I think that we would love to be able to be full-time in Surf Folk. And we've even discussed, we've kind of got a few other arms that have, I guess you could call them opportunities, that have come from this business that we've lent into, such as Folk On Brand, which is where we've offered some marketing and digital, would you say digital marketing?
Digital marketing services, yeah. Yes. So whether that's like sort of like, yeah, like paid ads, you know, there's Meta, Google, all sorts of different channels that can come through, emailing, sort of email campaigns, all that sort of thing. And
Social media management, kind of what I'm doing in my full-time job. So I think there's the thought there to potentially be able to offer that potentially along the journey, and whether that leads us to just being full-time in Surf Folk as that continues to build and grow. But I guess we're really passionate about what we're doing.
I think it's always evolving, because what Surf Folk started off as was, yeah, essentially a couple products that we sold, and we thought, oh, this is cool. There's people who align with the products, whether it's the community we're building or all that sort of thing. And I guess just it's evolved from there, in the sense that people, I guess, like, oh, you're doing this product next, and there's lots of ways you can go. But it's, in a sense, it is kind of, it's a fun journey, but it's also kind of like, oh, wow, where do we go with here? So, yeah, but I guess that means the growth of Surf Folk could be something that we'd love for it to be full-time for us both, and sort of build a team potentially around there as well. As we grow, we realize there's more to do, of course. And
yeah, so as a general rule of thumb, and I hope anyone in business smashes this rule, but it was kind of true for me. So like the first 3 years, so what, you're two, coming into your third year-ish?
Well, sorry, we started, oh, sorry, we officially launched, like went live, people could buy products. It was the, just after Black Friday, 2023.
Yeah, we didn't time that well.
Yeah, we didn't time it that well. So we're just because everyone wants a good Black Friday sale, we thought, we just want to make money for once maybe, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But it's just actually over a year for us.
Okay, cool. So that kind of leads into my thing. Generally speaking, the first year, you don't make any money.
Correct.
The second year, you want to be at least breaking even, covering costs. The third year, you want to start to see a profit. So that's kind of the general vibe. Now, obviously, if you can print money from day one, that's awesome. But I think you've really got to me, any small business has to get past that 3 to 5 year mark.
Yeah,
because that statistically, and you would hear this in your workshops that you attend at work, that's when small businesses fail. So I think it's so awesome that you're out there giving this a red hot shake. But the question is, how do we get to the point where we can start to see some money come in this year that can support, like, I don't know, because I was thinking your first hire, that was kind of my question with Jazz, it'd probably be easy to just Jazz ratchet up to full-time hours if you wanted to.
That's a great plan.
I guess
you've got me for free at the moment, so you're trying to double down there. I like that idea, Glenn.
Well, but it just makes sense because
it does.
Like there's, and that's why, like if you don't want to work in the business 25/8, well, you're like, yeah, I'll help on the side and once we grow, we can afford to get someone else, we'll do that. Because realistically, to have another staff member on, the sales and the profit need to pay for that staff member. So I would imagine in your situation, it'd be best spent just keeping and you quitting your day job and both going full ham.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good path.
Full ham, I like it.
Full ham. I think as well, I want to mention along this journey, my mum has actually had a lot of input. She runs her own e-commerce store as well.
Awesome.
She's a local Aboriginal artist, Soretta Art and Design. And yeah, from early days, she's come alongside us and given us guidance and a very, I guess, realistic look at behind the scenes running a small business. Although I would call, she's got a lot going on and she's, kind of, I remember she said to us to be prepared to not take a profit for 5 years. Like, are you committing to this for the long haul and to be ready to reinvest and to have like a future projection of where you want to go and where you're heading? So I feel like, that's been really helpful along the journey to kind of come in with that expectation as opposed to let's just make some quick money and.
There's always got to be a long game and I don't know. Do you want me to be honest with the biggest risk that I see in all this?
We sure do.
Do you know what the biggest risk is?
No.
I don't know. Want to have a guess, Jazz? Biggest risk in your business.
To have a guess. Would that be, oh, goodness, I'm overthinking.
Yeah, don't.
Okay. Putting all this time and energy and money.
Yeah, that's a risk that we need to be willing to do.
Yep.
But there's a risk out there that heavily impacts your business that you can't control. And you know it when I say it, it is, you know, if 80% of your income is coming from one product and that product in 5 years' time, no one's doing it anymore, you've got a real problem. Now, I see this as an awesome launchpad product and just as we're recording this today, there was an episode that went up on This Is Money where I interviewed Iris Smith, the founder of the Quick Flick, and she made the stamp on wings, the makeup, and she was on Shark Tank.
Yes,
yeah.
I've seen that.
So take a listen to that episode and I asked her that core initial part of her business, right, was that stamp on wings, but you're at the whim of fashion and trends which you can't control.
So true.
So it is the same, you know, remember in school, like kids would go through fidget spinners and then whatever. And I saw my friend's kids had yo-yos the other day. Like, so these market and product cycles come on in and absolutely you've got to catch that wave and make money, but you got to then think, how do we have an always on type product, which could be the apparel. It could be insert the thing here.
Yeah, definitely. I think
Dave's mind has just imploded.
clicking
with all the thoughts.
No, that's it. Yeah, no, and I think like I said before, like we were almost surprised that film was the thing that took off and we were like,
totally.
Oh, this is interesting. So like let's roll with this. And a lot of our profits that we have reinvested have gone into that product range. But I think like in our minds we can see that they're like any business, that risk you're talking about, there's a potential expiry date for this product in terms of its popularity, the demand. So I think we're trying to keep that in the back of our mind and grow. And I think there's lots of sort of one product e-commerce stores out there. We can all probably name five if we think about it. But I think for us, we're always like, we don't want it to be a one product store. We want to be a brand that, you know, is a house of different products and ranges. And for us, I think, you know, starting with film has been the best on-ramp we could have hoped for, in the sense that it differentiates us from other maybe like surf brands or lifestyle brands that might be sort of in a similar niche. But and film's interesting because it has come back.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it is like, it was dead.
That's right.
But yeah, it's like film's not dead. It's suddenly back. So it has like sort of resurged in a way. But yeah, that's always that risk, right? We got to think about what's the next thing.
Yeah. And I feel like when we created the brand, we were looking at the lifestyle around, I guess, the name Surf Folk. So many people hear that name and it seems that they connect with that. Mm. And for them, they think of, be it surfing or time spent with friends on days off or traveling. And I think there's a range, even when we speak with friends, they go, oh, have you thought of bringing out, like, I don't know, all different ideas. And it's kind of a balance of not getting lost and overwhelmed with too many products. So even when we launched, we reflected that we probably started with too many things. But in a way, it was probably helpful to see what people were interested in. And what stuck. And we love, you know, whether it's at the markets or DMs or people requesting or asking, you know, will you be doing this? Or we're always like listening and trying to keep a finger on the pulse of where things are heading. And I think we're hoping to grow, or we plan to grow a brand that is recognizable, I guess, especially amongst that surf culture and lifestyle type brand that can evolve and grow and not just be a fad or a trend that we're clinging to, I guess.
And it does speak to that always on stuff. Like in the surfing world, you know, there's that, like, there's a wax brand and it's just like been the brand for a million years.
Sex wax?
Yes. That's one. Yeah. It was something sexy. Yeah. And I mean, sexy. I've got no idea about that company, right? No idea. I don't know if they sell anything else. But for example, that's an always on product.
Yeah.
And
yeah, totally.
I think nearly every it's
consumable.
Yeah, the hangy thing, yeah.
Yep, air freshener.
So the question is, how do you really start to do some research or planning around that redundancy? And I say that saying it in a way that no one is above this problem. I've got this problem. That's why I've got the Financially Fierce podcast. We've got Retire Right. We've got these other products that the business isn't, because it's exactly the same for me at the moment, that This Is Money podcast probably is 80% of what we do. So I'm always thinking longer term and redundancy and diversification, because I still want to be around in 10 years. And with the whole selling stuff, as an example, Jess Brady, who hosts our Financially Fierce podcast, she does an online money program called The Greenhouse, and she charges $1,000, right? Which it's a lot of money for some people. For other people, it's like, oh, that's cheaper than paying $4,000 for a plan, and I'm not sure if I'll do this first. But I said to her, I'm like, every time someone listens to your podcast, it's like picture a shopping center. You've got a shop. People are walking past. They're coming in because they like your brand. They want to spend money with you. But you've only got one product that's $900 or whatever it costs, right? How can you diversify? So you've got a cheap $100 product. Is there a $300 clarity call? So it is that diversification, because people have got eyeballs on your website, on your Instagram. They like your vibe. You will be able to take their money and give them a good product. So how do you maximize that? And again, I say that not in any type of interrogation, but these are the things I'm always thinking of in my business and with the people that I'm around.
Yeah, definitely. No, that's great. And like, I think it's always important to think like just that forward planning, isn't it? It's like, you know, this is what's working now, but what if it just all stopped in a year or two's time, right?
Yeah,
it's like, what's next?
And it is a dance with like, gosh, can we just get to a year's time first? Yeah. Like, so I totally get it. Like, this is like the third business I've had, and yeah, I get it. But it's just always having it in the back of your mind. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back right after this.
If you're after personal financial advice, don't get it from a podcast. If you would like help based on your own personal situation, head over to sortyourmoneyout.com. Click Get Help and we'd be happy to introduce you to one of our trusted advisors. Our panel of advisors, mortgage brokers and accountants work with clients all over Australia so they can connect with you wherever you are. That's sortyourmoneyout.com and click Get Help.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Rightio, we're back. And hey, if you are listening to this podcast, it is on Saturday on This Is Money. It's our bonus business episode. However, if you just want a dedicated playlist, if you will, of businessy episodes, this is also on the podcast called This Is Business. So it's a dedicated podcast just for business stuff. So if you want to subscribe to that, we'll always put the business episodes on that so they don't get lost in the main feed. So there you go. Hey, a question for someone listening who is wanting to start an e-commerce business. And I was having dinner with some friends the other day and they're a young couple. Like I think he's 19 and Melly's just 18 or 20, I don't even know, 19, 20, right? And he wants to start a t-shirt brand and all that stuff. I'm like, sweet, go for it. If any advice that you would give to someone starting in this world and at this point a year in, are you still doing the fulfillment yourself or is that outsourced, drop shipped? How does all that work? I mean, a lot there, but I'm just thinking if I sent this episode to Danny to listen to, hey, mate, and Melly to listen to, what up? Yeah, what would you say to someone starting out an e-commerce vibe?
Yeah, no, we are still fulfilling ourselves at this point in time. And yeah, look, we looked at the dropshipping model and obviously that has worked for many people out there. I guess for us, sort of for the numbers wise, you can't quite take as much back home like in profit when you do dropshipping. So that was a bit of a trade-off. Obviously, it's a convenience of not having to fulfill. But for us, I guess we also... No offense to any dropshippers out there, but like the dropshippy kind of website, we've all seen them before. We wanted to, I guess, build this sort of brand that people align with, community, all those sorts of things. But I think like just advice, oh geez, I think one thing we've had to learn is I don't fully subscribe to the fake it till you make it, but in a sense, I do subscribe to, I guess, just having confidence in and just backing yourself and what you're trying to do, your product, your brand. Our first sort of launch, we did a giveaway and we approached a couple of different bigger brands, much bigger than ourselves. And there was sort of like I guess you could say the bigger fish were like, let's just go for it. Let's just see if they want to collaborate, see if they want to throw in something for a giveaway. They ended up giving quite a bit of money, a part of the giveaway. And we just thought, oh gosh, like we never would have actually gone for this unless we just thought, you know what? They're just people too. Mm. They're running a business. They want to make some money. They probably were at a place where they could have used, you know, a bit of engagement on Instagram, all that sort of thing. We recognized that and thought we're an up and coming brand who can do that. So let's offer what we can. And yeah, it was kind of worked out well in our favor and theirs. And I think just that kind of attitude of, you know, just why not? Like if someone else can have it, you can as well, I think is the thing that I've had to learn. And it's a bit of a mindset thing, not to get all mindset-y on people, but...
but I will.
But I will, and there you go.
Actually, I've got a book here that I'll give to you. Just let me grab it now.
Ooh, just so exciting.
Okay, I'm back. I tried to find these guys a book that I usually buy like five of these at a time and give away to people. And I've talked about it before. It's called The Dip by Seth Godin. And the premise is, and I'm doing a weird thing. So when you start, like you first start, you're going downhill, it's easy making sales, this is awesome. And then you get to this dip, right? And the other side of the dip, it's going back uphill. It's like, oh, this gets really hard. And most people quit after they've had that initial whoop, it's too hard. The thing is, you've got to stick with it to get to the top of that next hill. Because when you do get to the top, there's less people there because so many gave up.
Yeah, very true.
So you've got to remember, like, so you know the Thermomix machines?
Yeah.
And everyone's a Thermi consultant, right? And usually what happens is they're a Thermo consultant or a Thermi consultant for about 18 months or 2 years, because at the end of that period, they've exhausted all their connections that they know that they can run a Thermi party with. They didn't survive the dip.
Didn't make the
dip.
Got
hard. Oh, I don't have any other people to do parties with and all that. So they didn't survive the dip. And that's what you've got to do. And one thing you've got to really look at, and it is there for you, that underlying passion and belief of what you're doing. Because when it gets hard, and it will, and it probably has at times, that underlying passion will sustain you and keep you on track to punch through it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's true. I think it's I think big part of it is that community for us when we get people DM say we love this product, we love what you represent, and yeah, like I'm trying to get off my phone more so I can enjoy just nature, and I'll take my camera with me on holidays or a road trip in the van, whatever it is, those sorts of things. We're like, oh, that's so cool to hear.
I also think a big part of our journey was early on deciding we're going to invest in a coach, so e-commerce coach essentially, and
Sweet.
Just being super mindful about who we're surrounding ourselves with. Our roommates, Luke and Rach, they're also on the business journey, and like we are so intentional about supporting one another, cheering one another on. And I think, yeah, the people in your world that you give that time, I guess, an input into your life is so crucial. And yeah, I guess it was pretty early that we decided to make a pretty significant investment to be a part of that coaching program. But I feel like it allowed us to, obviously there's, you need to learn certain lessons for yourself in just having a crack and figuring things out. But there's also that opportunity there that you can get the right voices and people that are where you want to be and get in the room, I guess, essentially with those that you are aspiring to model, like whether it's something about their business or skills that they can offer you, back to those friends of yours you were speaking about who maybe at the very beginning of the journey. I think that's been a really important part for us, is really valuing who are we doing this journey with and how are we being intentional about being open to learn and grow and realizing that we're never probably going to arrive or feel like we have all the answers, but this will be a continuous journey of learning. And yeah, that's what we've tried to just keep upskilling, to keep encouraging one another. And I think that's a big part too, that we're doing it together and we're able to support one another when one of us is maybe like those moments you said when it's super tough and it's like, okay, how do we problem solve this? Or can we see this being something that is sustainable, is lifting the other up? And
so, yeah, you've really got me thinking. And I like always talking about different businesses and hearing what you've tried and whatnot. Have you, like, do you spend hard dollars on like digital marketing? And have you got to the point where it's like, we know if we spend $100, we can make 110 back? Like, have you nailed that part of it?
Yeah, in a sense, through maybe our paid ads, we can do that. And like just recognizing for us, for example, you know, the cost of a product, the cost of making a product, how much we sell it for, how much portion are we willing to spend on ads, for example. For us, it's basically maybe a third as a rough number of the value of that product. And so just keeping those metrics is something we're trying to just keep like track of the profitability of our ads, similar with emails. So in a sense, we can have some calculations, metrics, forecasting for those sorts of things, but it can be up and down. Again, we sell a few different products, so like it can change as well. So yeah, we do have not essentially hard and fast, but that's one of the things we've, like, for us, transparently had to upskill and just realize, okay, actually we really have to have a solid grip on our finances and what's happening here. And
yeah, because early on I know we were like, okay, the product costs X and we can sell it for Y and we take this profit at the end.
Yeah.
But we realize, oh, there's the cost to get it here. There's the cost to post it out. There's all these different considerations, and be it influencers or someone that we're partnering with to promote, that all needs to break down into the marketing budget as well.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we've definitely learned to look at the costs very differently.
Yeah, so like, because the way I see it, is like, I'm just up on your website now, surfolk.co. Awesome vintage reusable film camera. They got the rust color and the sage color, $99. Awesome. The way I see it, it's like the physical in store and the website, obviously different distribution pillars, right? How much experimenting have you done out in the wild, like at surf stalls and all that stuff?
We've done a bit. I think for us, the first sort of in-person thing was markets. We did a few music gigs as well. had some like artists who are like, we just love you, the vibe of your brand. Can you come to a stall at my gig? We were at the Cambridge. If you're a Novocastrian, you would know the Cambridge. It's since closed down, unfortunately. But we were there for a little gig. But yeah, markets and things like that. And I think just, yeah, sort of getting an idea of like who our target market is, in the sense that what do they like, where do they hang out, all those sorts of things has come into how we do our website, how do we do our ads, how do we do our emails and social media and all those sorts of things.
And we've also lent into connecting with stockists and stores this year as another opportunity to get the name out there, build, I guess, more momentum. And
because like I'm, and I know nothing about retail or e-commerce, so there's that. But like, because when I ask about hard dollars that you invest, like obviously using the product and giving it away is a form of marketing, right? Have you, like there's a surf shop down there at the junction. Have you rocked up, hey, who's the manager? Oh, I am. Here's six cameras. Can you put them on the counter? We sell them for $99. If you sell them, keep the money, let me know. And then we can work something out. Like, are you that brash or bold? I don't know.
Yeah, I think we done it, like started off doing some like on that topic of like wholesalers and that. We like definitely called up a few managers of stores and was like, hey, we've done a look into your brand. We think it aligns with us. We think these would work. These are the reasons why like film cameras, for example, are blowing up again. We think this is something that would benefit your store and your customers. Like, do you guys want we've given a few samples away, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And given some away, like, hey, try it out, see how it looks and see if people like it, what's the feedback, and had that. And then people order, you know, 10, 20, we've had 30 even from a store. Be like, yeah, these are great, let's do it. So,
and they're moving like this.
Yeah. Definitely early stage. It's really just been this year, 2024, we've started the wholesale.
Yeah.
The first year was just like, can we prove this to ourselves? Can like proof of concept? Can we show that there's actually people willing to buy and pay and all these things? And yeah, over a year we've been able to do that. So now it's kind of like, okay, can we spread this out? And yeah.
Is there enough meat in it? Like, is SDS still a surf store, General Pants or something? Like
General Pants store?
We have been trying to reach out to General Pants.
Yeah, like,
if anyone works at General Pants, hit
well,
us
I
up.
Mean, but like, have you jumped on LinkedIn and tried to?
Yes.
So, like,
I've done some mega like research stalking.
Yeah. So, like, so doing all that, like, can you literally find where the head office is and send that person one?
I love this.
And be like, hey, these would sell. We want to partner with you. Also, do you want to have a General Pants brand and we'll do it? Like, I don't know, because it's all about getting the attention, because you've got to – anything to do with sales. And the last episode on the This Is Business podcast that we did was like 2 hours on sales. So
we need to listen to that.
Yeah.
Look back on that one, yeah.
So it's all about getting in front of a decision maker.
Yep.
So that's why I said, you walk in, who's the manager? Hey, here's 10. I'm coming back in 3 weeks. If they sell, awesome. Let me know, take the profit, don't care.
Yep.
Because that's the attention. Because you've got to think, if you're a retailer, how many times are you getting pitched with the same thing? Buy this and try it, buy this. And again, I've got no idea how retail works. I don't know if many would actually be like, here's a box. If they move and you're keen, let's discuss.
To begin with, we were actually reluctant to go down the path of wholesaling as you obviously take more of the profit when you
do retail. Yeah.
And we were starting to get some DMs from different brands that were interested. And just on what you were saying about that brashness or just the audacity to be like, let's just go for this. Mm. I feel like once we made the call, David emailed like 60 wholesale or stores and you were like, let's just, you know, get things moving. And yeah, offering to send out samples and for them to keep those and see what they think. I feel like we love to think outside the box, like we're potentially collaborating with a surf retreat over in Bali, and that'll be an opportunity to capture some great content that resonates with our audience, that we can showcase our camera on that trip.
Where's the beach club? Oh, there's a few.
Oh, is it Potato Head?
Yeah, everyone and there's another. Anyway, a few beach clubs. Yes. A lot of them have little stores. There's a big one. Is it Potato Head? It's the big, and they've got like a DJ and.
Yeah, I think.
Anyway,
it
there's
might
a big gift store clothes shop at the front of that on the left.
Let's email them.
Yeah.
Let's fly. Yeah, let's
jump on
up.
A plane.
We've had a few ones like that. Okinawa, which is an island in Japan. Yeah. There's a guy who does film store there. It's epic.
It's like the Byron Bay of Japan.
Yeah, I want to go there. Really
like, I guess what I'm saying is. And this goes back to risk profile. We know in the wholesale world, if you buy more, it's cheaper. Are you prepared to go stuff this? We're putting in an order of 20 grand worth of this stock and we're taking a risk and we're going to be bold and we're going to try and get it out into the market because you want to be the leader of this wave because there are other people doing similar products, right? So how do you put your foot down and say, we want to own this space?
I think it's that. I think it's, yeah, that kind of...
But again, we're talking two different distribution models. We're talking offline wholesale and we're talking online. And I think the success means you've got to do a bit of both.
I agree.
Yeah, we've kind of come to that place, I think, where it's both. Because essentially, by doing the wholesaling, they're absorbing those advertising costs for you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there is an advantage in that, but there's also more of the cut you might take for retail. So it's like,
it's the scale game. It's smaller cut, but there's higher volume.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
And like you had the offer that, you know, if you buy above this amount of cameras, then there's the change in percentage. And I feel like that was the sales tactic there too.
Yeah.
Like,
I'd be honestly like trying to go to some surf stores. They might have like 3 or 4 in the brand name. And just the wholesale, just like, hey, let's white label. Let's design your brand onto this.
We have done something similar with Fela. Did you want to speak to that?
Oh, Fela, yeah. So they're you might recognize them as they're a seltzer drinks company.
Yes.
Yeah, so they I think they were in Business Insider last year. They're one of the top 10 growing companies in Australia. So they're really taken off in that seltzer space. Mm. But yeah, they reached out to us for a music festival, Groove in the Moo. They were trying to get a bunch of cameras to their influencers, their people essentially who are going to all these festivals.
And it was there was about 24 hours to make this thing happen. And we're like, how do we problem solve this? We've got a camera. We want to make it a collaboration with Fela. So we've literally, between their graphic designer and us, we've created this sticker pack and got it done locally. They were too big, had to reprint them all. We're like, we're going to make this work. And so the end product was that all the influencers, like the next day we were sending them out, they got their camera, their Fela logo stickers, and that was like a promotion campaign.
Okay, I've got a really good idea.
Let's hear it.
And it could suck. What if... You know, and it is kind of a pseudo type wholesale, right? What if you contacted every single freaking real estate agency in Newcastle and said, hey, what about our cameras as a settlement gift when people buy a house? It's that story. Growing up, capturing the first photo, you can take the photo with their camera as a gift of them standing in front of the sign, click, there's your analog camera.
I love it.
Get into that. Because you've got to do things different. I'm thinking like home builders, renovations, interior designers, those type of companies that provide welcome gifts to clients and thank you gifts.
That is a great idea. I feel like
and it could
that
suck,
could work.
But we've just got to be as creative as possible.
Well, that made me think of what we did last year with Miles Away down in Victoria. It's an Airbnb and we've actually been hitting up a lot of Airbnbs with our camera as a – it could be a gift, but the way that they've been using it is that the guests can capture their trip. And when we come out with our film, we're hoping to do a subscription model, but that's then another avenue, I guess, that we've been promoting our cameras. So bringing out the film, that's an opportunity then for those Airbnbs to, I guess, they could be potentially buying that from us. However, yeah, the camera, we noticed, how can we start to get surf folk cameras out in the wild in different ways? And also a lot of Airbnbs that are on Instagram have identified the opportunity there to promote their stay in a unique way as opposed to the traditional platforms.
Yeah, where they build like an Instagram profile around the something something Airbnb or that kind of thing.
Like miles away.
Like miles away have like the coastal small town vibe, and those sorts of Airbnbs are great for us because that sort of aligns with our brand already. So we're like, hey, here's a camera, no cost or anything involved, just, you know, have it there for the guests, shoot a roll of film and then have it developed and yeah.
For us, oh, sorry.
No, you keep going.
I was just going to say, so for us from the marketing perspective, that was a content opportunity. We went down there and we called it Roam with Surf Folk, and the boys got to go to Bell's Beach and surf and enjoy the local area and capture some great content of the camera in this setting that was like an old beach shack. So it was essentially a photo shoot destination. Mm. And yeah, but ongoing, I think we need to actually come back to that.
I honestly, and this is, I was thinking this earlier and I don't know if I said it or not. I think what will end up happening with your business and brand, whatever it is in 5 years, isn't going to be what it is right now. And that where we end up, and this is, again, I'm just talking out of my ass, but like, could you call, and I know it's a busy environment, call the real estates or the home builders and like, hey, let us take care of your whole welcome gift pack. It includes surf oak this, beach towel, whatever. I don't know. Like, move into something that is in that corporate-y world. I don't know. Because, and again, these things, I have a million ideas in the shower every morning and 999,000 of them or more suck. But it's that brain dump of...
Takes one.
Yeah, you just got to keep going. How do we do different? How do we get out there?
Yeah, definitely.
What about how we started with the wedding gift? That was
So that's one thing. Like we talked about, like weddings, perfect opportunity to capture some moments and memories on film. And for us, that was one way we went about it. And you know, we have actually talked about whether it's like a sister brand or something is just operating in the wedding space as wedding gifts, groom's gifts, or like bridal parties going out for their walk with their photographer. Like,
yeah, because
they do.
What your brand, and this is like all the marketing gurus and all that stuff, they'll be like, they say, oh, what do you sell, Dave?
So we sell reusable film cameras. And
no, you don't. You sell memories that last forever.
Like, you're in the people business.
Yeah, that's right. So we are selling a moment in time that people can cherish.
Yes.
Like, that's what you're selling.
I love it.
Universal.
Relive the good old days is Relive the good old days, find your folk.
So what I want to do, I want to call Emily Wallace. She's a buyer's advocate in Melbourne. She hosts the This Is Property podcast. I'm going to just put her on the spot if she answers and just workshop this, what she does for settlement gifts.
Hi, you've called Emily Wallace.
Boo.
Emily, come on.
Come on, Emily. Well, she might call back. I don't know any other real estate agents that I could call that I like. but like, I don't know. It's all about, one, diversifying income source. Two, providing, I don't know, some redundancy. Because sure, if it goes out of fashion with the 19-year-olds buying them at the surf shop when they're in there and taking photos on the beach, that's cute. That corporate world will have a longer shelf life. Simple as that.
Yep.
And I would not be afraid when you are approaching these companies to do some type of co-branding. And there are going to be minimums and all that stuff. But, I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't go and see a couple of real estate agents and ask them what they're doing for their welcome gifts. But again, it's like, how can you get that concept and turn that up into an e-commerce thing so you can have a B2B website where...
Yeah, diversifying again.
Yeah, so my other question that I was thinking, the biggest... So I guess, yeah, for me, the biggest pain point, this is, I want one of your cameras, right? but I can't be bothered getting the film developed and then processed. Have you thought about everyone that you send, you literally send a return express satchel in the bag and we develop your first film included and just up the price or add it as a add-on or something. And then they send the film back to you or direct to somewhere. And
we're actually exploring this at the moment. Yeah, with starting with a local lab in Newcastle and sort of potentially branching out from there.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, that's right. Because it is one of those pain points where it's like it's less convenient than taking a photo on your phone, right? Or a camera.
Yeah.
Digital, that is. But
if you take the pain point away and the resistance and make it easy for me.
Yes.
The two pain points is having the film available because there is a shortage at times. So potentially being able to have a subscription model where people can have that reoccurrence where the film arrives on their doorstep and they don't have to have.
Yeah, I don't know. I like you trying that. Yep. I'm skeptical in the real world.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the flip side, more our mates actually mentioned as well, like around what about helping with the end of that process, like you've brought up the development there of the photos.
Because if I'm in, I don't know, Broome and on holidays or live there,
100%.
And it's like, I got this, where can I take it? Well, I can't take it down to the strip mall in Broome to get developed.
You're waiting a few days sometimes. And we started with the map on the website was the solution to go, how do we help people along the journey? But I think that we've been thinking about how can we...
Yeah, partnering with some labs because that's right. They're the ones who are sort of developing and getting it ready for
Hang on.
Giving the files.
Chris Gleason's calling.
Oh.
Hang on.
Yo, Chris.
How you doing?
Good. Am I on speakerphone?
Yeah, just me.
Oh, cool. Oh, I'm just, you know, Dave and Jazz who have Surf Folk?
Yeah, I like them.
Yeah, they're with me. You're on speakerphone.
Hi.
Hello.
We're just chatting. It's on the record. We're just recording a business podcast. Yeah, you'll put their cameras into the Good One store, will you?
I would freaking love that.
Okay, cool. All right. Okay, we're back. Sorry, I just took that call with my friend offline and Chris, they own a cafe, but they also sell little titty bits and whatever.
He agreed to buy, I think it was 100, he said on the phone.
Jeez, right? He's thirsty.
Yeah. That's what I heard.
Yeah, same. Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, I don't know. I just wanted to use this whole conversation for a couple of reasons. One, to get the word out there for other people to buy your stuff.
Love it.
Because I wouldn't have people on my podcast who I didn't think were doing good things. But secondly, like just to really encourage other business owners, you've got to sometimes get out of your own head. And like you said with the coach type stuff or going to the different workshops, you've got to always just be open to the idea of doing stuff differently. And yeah, I don't know. I just reckon a year in, but we need to kind of really start to go, okay,
how can
what
we
are we doing
pivot
here?
And
also like sometimes, and it goes back to a temperament thing, like I'm impatient and all that. It's like, friggin' crap will get off the potty. Like, are we going to hit this and, like, put all this energy and, you know, you guys are renting with friends at the moment. It's like, yeah, for the next 3 years, we don't even care about saving for a house. It's building this bloody business because if we build this business right, we can buy any house we want. And that's a risk that some people aren't prepared to take. I took that, started my business, rented a house, then I started collecting houses because the business was done right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's been fully our mindset at this point. Yeah, like we just want to sort of try and set ourselves up for the future as best we can. But yeah, just the journey of I guess building something and being able to see like the fruit of your own labor is really satisfying, even on this scale, which is very small still. But yeah,
but we've been willing, I think, to trade that security for a chance for it to work out, and we're like, let's have a crack, let's do this.
And that's right. And like if we're sitting here 6 years later. And the needle hasn't moved. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Go get a job. But you've got to, you know, you've got to do your time and you've got to go through this stuff and shake every tree possible and give it a bit of a runway and make sure you can, okay, we're going to try this. We're going to test and learn fast. If it's, and that's, I don't know. I'm not in your business. I don't understand retail and I don't understand your financial situation. But I would personally be trying to take a big risk and buying a heap of stock because you're fulfilling yourself at a really low price. And just like, all right, we're getting out there. We're sending it to, we're dropping 10. We're going on a road trip up the coast, every small town, marketing budget is literally take these 10 cameras. If they sell, let us know. We'll be back. And here's the cost price and here's the retail price. It's up to you.
I love that.
Yeah, you've given us a lot to think about, Glenn.
Yeah, and I love again, it. I honestly say 99% of this crap that comes out of my mouth will be absolute rubbish, but it gets you thinking about the other stuff.
That's it. Getting under the hood of what it looks like to run, yeah, to do this is so important, I think. Yeah.
Well, I think as well, like we're up close and it's so great to have a perspective from outside the business and just to think outside the box. We all, I think that's where the magic happens is when you break the mold and even though we might look, oh, we're taking this risk, we're running this business, I think there's a way of still playing it safe even within the scenario of taking a few risks, but then really, are we actually all in? Are we actually committing everything to this?
Yeah, that's right.
Haven't used any debt in the business, have you?
No.
Keep it that way.
Yeah.
Like don't go and get a 30 grand personal loan and buy 30 grand worth of cameras.
Yeah, no.
No, it's cash flowed ourselves initially. Obviously these days things like the business sort of basically is covering itself, which is great, but certainly profit is on the horizon, but we're chasing that.
Yeah. No, I love it. We'll leave it right there. Thanks so much for listening to this special business episode today. You can go to surfolk.co or you can, we'll put a link in the show notes to the website and the Instagram anyway. Check Jazz out, check Dave out, check the gear out and let's see where this story ends in a few years, eh?
So
we're only at the start and we're going to smash it.
Cheers, Glenn.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, friends. So bye. Oh, and remember, you can subscribe to the This Is Business podcast wherever you're listening to this. And if you are listening on the This Is Business podcast and you haven't clicked subscribe, well, there is your nod. There is your nudge, rather. Okay, bye.
We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands on which we live and work and pay respects to their elders past, present and emerging. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may listen to this podcast. If you are interested in furthering your education around money, your career or property, we have 3 books that might help. Check out Sort Your Money Out, Sort Your Career Out and Sort Your Property Out. Find these wherever good books are sold or via the link in the podcast show notes. This podcast is for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general financial advice only, which does not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Because of that, you should consider if the advice is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on the information. If you do choose to buy a financial product, read the product disclosure statement, target market determination, and obtain appropriate financial advice tailored to your needs. Simo Interactive Proprietary Limited, the publisher of the podcast, and Glenn James are authorized representatives of Money Sherpa Proprietary Limited, which holds financial services license 451289.
That's the sound of another sale on Shopify, in store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. Shopify.com/retail23.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.